phone is in the shop. You say Tehillim. Samsung Ben Moshe. Okay. So, we want to take a look at the six or seven sugyos that we studied to help decipher the Ptur Shein Veregel Bishus Arabin. The sugya essentially runs from the Mishnah on Daf Yutes Amid Beis till the Mishnah on Daf Chav Beis Amid Beis, but there is a line or two on Daf Chav Gimel Amid Aleph, Tara. And then, of course, we saw the Gemara in Yud Dalet about different varieties of Chatzar HaShurfim. And there's some other scattered Gemaras, but they're all in Bava Kamma. Unlike some of the other sugyas, everything's more or less located and limited to Bava Kamma. So, of course, we started off, and we saw this in the beginning of the year. You know, Yesh Gezeres HaKasur, V'Bir B'Steachar, Tzuchim Steachar, V'Lo Sadeh Shel HaMazik. As if you have a midubar po, B'Gezeres HaKatov, כמובן צריכים להגדיר מה זה רשות הנזק, מה זה לא רשות הנזק, אבל כנראה שזה תלוי ברשות ממונית. Legal title, if it's yours, and the damage happens in an area which is yours, מה זה חייב. אם זה רשות אחרת, בין אם זה רשות המזיק, בין אם זה רשות של אדם שלישי שאינו של הנזק, אז המזיק פטור, והתורה לא מסבירה לנו למה. אנחנו לקחנו כהנחה ש... It's one of the discounts. Remember, every mazik has a discount. Bor has a discount. Asher has a discount. So this is a discount the Torah gave somewhere to create balance between social sustainability and between liability. I was on the Zoom, and there's a boy, a very interesting boy I met last night, a Sephardic boy. So he was asking me about this Gerlandus because it's not necessarily his Masara. So I was trying to warn him and encourage him. Said, look, it's obviously coming into a place where because, you know, he's in a Sephardic school, and that's a place where they're going to be learning a little differently. And I see, like, a wonderful kid. And just, I gave him an example. I said, we're learning Bava Kamma. Now we're not just looking at the details. We're trying to convert details into concepts, and concepts into categories, and categories into systems. And one of the things we're trying to understand about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is how does he envision this very delicate balancing act between social sustainability. People have to have cows. People need milk. People need transport. And then liability, things we've been talking about all year. So the higher you get, the more you're starting to see Shas. That is just some details, but you know, it was again arresting but interesting to me to see how many high school kids who aren't taught Gemara in an exciting way that shows them this beauty are disenfranchised with Gemara. And you know, for me, my challenge is to try to pick out like how will they do when they come to yeshiva, because like one of my first questions in interviews, do you like learning Gemara? Tell me about your relationship with Gemara, because if there's an alienation from Gemara, it's not going to wash here. Some kids have just never seen the higher levels of Gemara, so it's harder for them to envision it. That's where I get paid the big bucks to make those calls. Anyway, so I was talking last night with some boy, about a very, very nice boy, about this issue, about Lamdos and how it helps us see the Gemara as Ratzon Hashem rather than just a detail and a detail and a detail. So, it's a Gezeres HaKasev. Obviously, we know what's behind the Gezeres HaKasev, but there's no independent logic of HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have decided as such. There's nothing that would make you or me decide that Shein Veregel is Patur Rishus HaRabim. I want to say it's arbitrary. Nothing about Kodesh Baruch Hu is arbitrary or random, but it's superimposed. It's legal. It's formal. We then have to define, as we'll see, well, what is a Rishus HaYachid? Maybe Bava Kamma Rishus HaYachid are not the classic boundaries of Rishus HaYachid that say for Shabbos or for Kinyan or for Tumah. Okay, those are typically the four areas in Shas that we have to make such decisions. Shabbos, Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid. Tuma, Savik Tama Rosh Hashayachid is the Chumra, Savik Tama Rosh Hashayachid is the Hakel, Kenyan, most Kenyan have to be made in Rosh Hashayachid type area, and finally Bava Kamma. Here and there, but those are the four cases we always have in our head when we think about how halacha zones the public area and the private area. Okay, the first hint that something is a little bit different is with the Gemara, and it pays to, again, open the Gemara, take your sheets, again, and just to, so much of Chazara is just getting down to the basics. What are the basic 100 ideas of Shein Veregel? What are the basic 100 ideas? Not so much with more, but just taking out all the Rabbi Tarigan Med alumnus and all the broad conversations and shrinking it down, what are the key lines? Hashem Aleichem, Hashem Aleichem. Okay, so we saw the Gemara on Daf Yud Tes. Welcome, Rabbi Rosenberg. If you all don't know, you're Chashev Rabbi in the room, so mix in. Okay, so Daf Yud Tes Amid Beis. The Gemara wants to know, remember the case, they were sitting, Rabbi Huda and Rav Hoshaya. Remember, Rav Hoshaya is one of the stars of Shein Veregel. We already have Rav Hoshaya by Kofetzes, as opposed to Ilfa. Anyway, he and his friend, Rabbi Huda Nasi, and they were colleagues. Rabbi Hoshaya was a little bit younger, right? Historiographically, What's the difference between Rabbi Darnassi and Rabbi Hoshaya? Rabbi Darnassi compiled the Mishnah. Rabbi Hoshaya compiled the, not the Braisa, Braisa's then the Tosefta. He and Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Hoshi were Talmid and Rabbi Darnassi. So Rabbi Darnassi took all these thousands and thousands of verbal statements that had been taught for hundreds of years, and he chose the select ones that he wanted to include in the Mishnah. I can't tell you what fraction it was, but it was a small fraction. How many hundreds of thousands of teachings were there? Rabbi Darnassi, based on all sorts of criteria, these are the ones I'm going to compile in the Mishnah. But there were still hundreds of thousands of other teachings. Rabbi Chiya of Osho came and did a redo. Let's build something called the Tosefta. And things that were never compiled, and they were never filtered, they never cleaned up, they remain brises, and the Gemara then quotes brises to try to prove or disprove. Okay, that's why you often say, I was a Mishmisha Beshta. It never, you know, made the editor's cut, no one looked at it the right way, so we can't rely on that brisa. Okay, so in this case, Rabbi Hoshaya and Rabbi Yehuda, right, make Gemara come alive. They were sitting together in the porch of Rabbi Yehuda, probably near his mansion, wherever Rabbi Darnassi lived, and they asked the following case: what happened if an animal swings its tail? Kishkishna biznava. Would you be chai? Would you be pater? And the answer was so, like, surprising. You test him a base. V'chiyo chazena biznava v'yelech. Does it make sense to you that I should have to walk in Rishas Arabim and hold my animal's tail? That's a cockamamie scenario. It's ridiculous. No one can live that way. Constantly walk in Rishas Arabim and hold on to an animal's tail. Why did they talk like that? No, why did they just say it's Rishas Arabim? Kishkisha biznava is regel shein, right? Kishkisha biamsa may be Karen like. The agitated male organ, that may be Karen like because of some external force that's creating the force. But kishkisha biznava is normal tail movements. It's somewhere in the shein viregel category, probably close to regel. Why did the Gemara just say it's Rishas Arabim, bir bisteacher? So even though the Rif didn't quote this, this is probably what tipped off the Rif that the Petur Rishas Arabim is not a gzeres akasav. It's not some formal halacha that in Rishas HaRabim or Rishas HaEinu Shenizik, the Nezik is in Chayef. It's based on Orche. That if the animals in Rishas HaRabim, it's totally normal for animals to walk and to eat. Now there's a difference between walking and eating, we'll see in the Ramban. But these are normal. And since they're normal, the Rif doesn't say this, but presumably, since they're normal, then we can't really indict the Baal for being a Poshe. You can't be saying, oh, you did something grossly negligent because you don't watch your animal. Anything which is in the range of normal, routine, unstoppable, normal daily intercourse, daily goings and comings, we can say, oh, you're a poshe. Poshe means abnormal, deviant. You're not deviant when your animal walks in Rishas HaRabim. We saw the rush in the Shittim HaGubetzis, who actually called it an ones, but we thought that was a bit of a radical phraseology to call someone an ones. What do you mean? I'm an ones with a gun to my head. If my only choice is to die. I'm an ones if someone ties me up. Not notice in theory, if Hashem made me at hold tails, right? We could be the race of people that holds tails in Rishas HaRabim, Hashem would command us. I don't think it's an ones as much as it's the Rif's Orche. The Rush quoted the Rif's Orche and gave his famous contrast between the Gzeres HaKasav view of Petur Rishas HaRabim and the Rif's view. What's the Rush's famous case? If you don't know this, please don't ever say you're a Talmud of mine. Oh, that would be embarrassing to me. What's the Rush's famous case? Eitzarach. That's the Rush's case. Before you get into the metal lumdas and all the fancy schmancy stuff, this is the famous, like everyone knows, even the guys who go to, I'm not going to embarrass any school, even if you go to that school, you know the Rif's Eitzarach. If there's a long beam, and one part of the beam is in Rishas HaRabim, and the other part of the beam is in Rishas HaYachid, and there's a clay on the Rishas HaYachid side of the beam, and the animal steps on the Rishas HaRabim beam. So the Rush postulates, you know, we have no Gemara like this, but the Rush postulates that if it had been Xeris HaKasov, oh, so the damage took place in Rishas HaYachid, where the clue was positioned, you'd be chayv. It's bir b'steyachar. But if the whole offset between Rishas HaYachid and Rishas HaRabim is whether it's Orche or not, so you don't look at where the mice and nezik to the clay happened, you look at where the animal walked. And for an animal to walk in Rishas HaRabim and step on a beam is normal. The beam's there. It's nothing strange. And therefore, you'd be pater. Again, there's no Gemara. So the Rush is free to say that this would be the Nafka Mina. The whole Xeris HaKasov Eitz Arach, and of course the reverse, and Eitz Arach if there's a reverse walking, but Eitz Arach Rishas HaRabim HaKli Nimtzeh Rishas HaYachid. If you hold the Xeris HaKasav, you'd be chayv. If you hold like the Rif, you'd be pater, because you'd apply the Orcha case. We don't really have a case like that. The closest we have, and I'm just going to give you a reference point, because I want you to know the coordinates of the sugya, is the Gemara in Daf Yud Tesim and Aleph. The Gemara Yud Tesim and Aleph, this was the final Gemara of Tzveros. Remember, Tsraros is roughly regal. Let's not get too lumbus about Tsraros. Tsraros is regal, which means Rishus HaRabim would be Pater, Rishus HaYachid would be Chayef. Gemara wants to know if the animal walks in Rishus HaRabim, kicks stones, and the stones project and fly to Rishus HaYachid, would you be Chayef or Pater? The Gemara's initial assumption is you're Pater. The Gemara changes it three times, Hadri Bey, you'd be Chayef. So according to the non-Rif people, this is great because the Kli is in Rosh Hashayachet. I don't care that the animal walked or kicked stones in Rosh Hashayachet. The Nezek to place, B'steyachar, you'd be Chayef. The question is, how would the Rif explain this Gemara? Why would Eitz Aruch, in the Rif's case, where you step on an Eitz Aruch, we say, oh, that's Orche, and you're Pater. When the animal kicks stones, and then they fly to Rosh Hashayachet, you'd be Chayef. We talked about that by Tzraros. The simple answer is, that, well, it may be orche for an animal to walk in Rishus HaRabim and step on a long beam and damage a kli that's in Rishus HaYachid. It may not be classic orche for animal to kick stones from Rishus HaRabim to fly to Rishus HaYachid. So it may not be a case of orche. But just know the Rif has some explaining to do on Daf Yutes because that's the cousin of Eitz Aruch. We don't have Eitz Aruch in the Gemara. We have Eitz Aruch in the Rosh. But the closest we have to Eitz Aruch is on Daf Yutes and Aleph where we don't have Eitz Aruch for the animal kicking stones. Okay, so that's just our first. Before the sugya comes, like the pregame show, this is the tailgating. Before we get into any of the sugyas, we have the Gzeiras HaKasuv, and we have the Rif, and we have this Gemara that has a strange language, V'chichozenev is nava v'yelech, and that just gives us general coordinates to move forward. Things start to get, once I'm just introduced to everyone, things start to get really interesting when we start playing with Rosh HaYachid versus Rosh HaSarav. That's the first layer of the sugya. We have two scenarios in Rosh HaSarav and where you're chayef. One is Ilfan Ravoshia, one is Ravim Shmuel. And we have one scenario where Rosh HaYachid and you're Pater. So here we're flipping the script. Normally Rosh HaYachid is Chayef, Rosh HaYachid is Pater. Can I find a case of Rosh HaYachid which is Chayef? Can I find a case of Rosh HaYachid which is Pater? That's going to open my mind to understanding why you're Chayef classically in Rosh HaYachid and you're Pater in Rosh HaRabim. Is it the Gzeiras HaKasuv? Is it the Rifs Orche? Or is it something else? Yes, Gabi.
You're saying that Tsraros is
Mishuna? Right, even if that's not the heart of Tsraros, even if Tsraros is Tsraros because it's Koko, but it's still not normal walking. That'd be the easiest way to solve the Rif. Okay, great. Remember, it's a Suffolk and the Gemara, but we have to reconcile the Rif with the Maskana. Okay, so all the action begins on Daf Yutes Amud Aleph. Excuse me, Chaf Amud Aleph. Yutes Amud Beis is the basic Shein Mishnah. Just know that it's there. There's nothing that leaps out at me from the Mishnah other than Ketzad Hashem Uedes Lecho Sarayla. So first, the Mishnah starts talking about what items, and we didn't spend that much time. The few Testament basic Gemara elaborates. And then the Gemara says, Bamed Devar Mishnah, second white line, Bamed Devar Mamurim Bershus HaNizik, Al Bershus HaRabim Pater. So that's the basic halacha, nothing strange there. Then it talks about the Chiyav of Hana, even in Bershus HaRabi Pei Mashinenes. That's something you learned when I was away, Ivtani. And then the Gemara starts playing around with two different exotic cases. One is mitoch harachava, your pater from Shane, but sidi harachava, mishalenes mashezika. And sidi harachava implies mechazer, so the only way for the animal to grab food from sidi harachava is either turn or walk, right? Sidi harachava, that's Rav and Shmuel. What is sidi harachava? How did the animal access the food? And then the Gemara concludes with, Pesach HaChanus is Pater, Toch HaChanus is Chayef. So the mission is already giving me a couple sophisticated scenarios. Tell me, crack open Shein. It starts with a general header, which we all know, Rosh HaYachid Chayef, Rosh HaRabim Pater. Then it gives me these two cases to play around with. One case is Tzidei Rechava, one case is Pesach HaChanus versus Toch HaChanus. All that stuff is only going to emerge on Daf Chaf Aleph and Aleph. Daf Chaf Aleph and Aleph, the Gemara doesn't get around to that part of the Mishnah, because it's primarily preoccupied with Mashinetis. That's what occupies most of the Gemara. But we have Machlokas Amarayim on Daf Chaf, followed by a question asked by Reb Zera. So we don't really have any relationship to the Mishnah, but we do have Ilfa and Reb Hoshaya. Ilfa, here's Ilfa's big Chiddush. Ilfa said, Al Gav Chavarta, in Mishnah Sarabim, where one animal stretches its neck to grab food from the other animal, Al Gav Chavarta, you'd be chayef, even though it's a Rosh HaRabim. The Gemara says, it responds to Rosh based on something that Rav had already said. Obviously, Rav Shai is earlier, but Rav had already said it later, Bikofetzes. That you're only chayef if the animal jumps, not if it stretches its neck. Okay, so here's our first conversation about potential chayef in Rosh HaRabim. Now, Rashi tells us on Daf Chaf Aleph and Aleph. Let's see Rashi. It's just coordinates. Kofetzes. That at least the Kofetzes scenario is not Shein Vereka. The Kofetzes scenario is Kera. Rashi doesn't say anything about Alpha, but he neutralizes Rav Hoshaya from Shein Vereka. There's nothing interesting about Shein Vereka that you can glean from Rav Hoshaya. Rav Hoshaya said Chayv Yemen Chatzi Nezek, and because the animal's jumping is Mashuna, and that's a whole Karen conversation. What about incidental Shinuyim? Because the animal, or what about Shinuyim on the way to something Orche? Where the animal does something crazy in order to do something normal. Typical Karen is complete Mashuna. My animal gores you and there's no pleasure. What happens if on the route to pleasure the animal does something crazy? That's again like the case of the donkey that grabbed up, you know, climbed up the barrel or climbed up the table. We're not going to talk about that yet because we're going to keep our heads right now on Shein Vereka. What's interesting is even Rashi, who talked about Karen within the context of Rav Hoshaya and Rava of Kofetzes, didn't really tell us what Ilfa holds, leaving open the possibility that maybe that's the line of demarcation between Ilfa and Rav Hoshaya. Rav Hoshaya says, you know what, there is no way, shape, or form to be Mechayev and Rishis Sarabim, period. And the only scenario to be Mechayev and Rishis Sarabim is if I default out of Shein Vereka and get to Karen territory, period, no ifs, ands, or buts. Which makes Rav Hoshaya the absolutist. Don't start bothering me with your fancy schmancy chakiras and this and that. I don't care. It's just a rabbi, you're putter, period. Leave me alone. Okay, it just so happens there could be Karen scenarios in Rosh Hashanah Rabbi Mekol Kofetzes, which makes you chay chatsi nezik as a time, you may be nezik shalom as a more. That seems to be the approach of the Baal HaMor. Baal HaMor says that you're right, he agrees with Rashi, that Rav Hoshaya and Rav's chiyuv of Kofetzes is based on Karen. But Ilfa, and therefore we pay chasin nezek by Kofetzes, but Ilfa would be mechayev nezek shalom in this case. And you know what, Aaron? They don't really argue because they're talking about on different frequencies. In theory, Rav Hoshaya could agree to Ilfa, not necessarily what I said before, but he could agree to Ilfa that stretching a neck is chayev v'shein v'regel, and his Kofetzes is Karen. So I'm not saying Rashi didn't say it, but we just don't know in Rashi. The Baal HaMor creates a hybrid between what Rashi says and what we would allow our minds to think. The Baal HaMor doesn't explain, I'm trying to show you how the sugya unfolded, Baal HaMor doesn't explain why you'd be chayav nezek shalom like Rav Chava, they just says it. But at least he gives us some navigational tools that we can introduce Shein Vereka into this sugya, at least according to Ilfa, by Rav Chava. The Rishonim that do explain are the Rashba and the Rush on one end, and the Ramban on the other end. And here's where the sugya is starting to break. Here's where it's starting to get to. There is a Kusav model versus the Rif model. Okay, so what happens? Both the Rashba and the Rush, in different ways, which I'll explain in a moment, say that you can zone areas that are in Rishus Sarabim. Listen to the word. I didn't use this the first time, but it's a good image, as Rishus Hayachid bubbles in Rishus Sarabim. You can create Rishus Hayachid bubbles in Rishus Sarabim. So the Chiyav of Shein is Rishus Hayachid. The Ptur of Shein is non-Rishus Hayachid. But even though we're in a zone that everyone calls the Rishus Sarabim, there are areas that could be rezoned, at least for Baba Kama purposes. I'm not sure if in general, at least for Baba Kama purposes, as a Shasiach. But Yehuda, they're still imagining the Chi of Shein Vereghel as revolving around the axis of Rishus. That word is still important to them. That word is not going to be important for the Ramban. That's the offset between the Rashba and the Rosh. Now, how do you zone the back of an animal or a raised platform the animal can only access by jumping, namely vertically detached areas in Rishus HaRabim as Rishus HaYachid? See, there's a little bit of a difference between the Rashba and between the Rush. The Rashba sounds like it's a question of utility. That it has to be, again, from a social standpoint, there has to be what I call parking spaces. Parking spaces are the classic modern example of areas that are owned by Rishus HaRabim, but people have the right to use them on a temporary basis. You can park your car there, maybe the place and we put your trash in front. Public and private areas are not as cleanly cut as you'd think. We can't have a world in which there's a clean cut between public property and private property. It's just not utilitarian. There are going to be public people who are going to walk into private areas, right? That's going to happen. In certain cases, you just learned a couple weeks ago in Baba Kama, where even though they made halacha that animals can't walk into people's private property, but in the winter it got very rainy. Remember, like on Daf, what was it? Takonos of Yoshua, like on Daf Ayin Tes or something. And there were like big pieces of mud that were jutting out, so everyone allowed the animals to walk into private property because it was cleaner, right? I was thinking about that Gemara, because having just spent 2 weeks in suburbia America, so I realized how kind Jews are. letting people walk through their backyard on the way to shul. I don't know if it happens in Queens, but it happens in Philadelphia, and it happens in Chicago, and you know, the kids are dark. In fact, I was in, what?
When we have a neighbor, we always walk.
Right, walk there, at the pastor, the Rishos, Derek Rishos. So actually, I was in New Rochelle a couple of weeks ago or something, and they proudly showed me that not only did the Yid who lived right near the shul allow people to walk by, he paved it, and he brought in rocks, and he made it really mechubadik. So that's like how Yidden live. That's great. Like we all walk into each other's backyards as we're on our way to have our secret meetings for global conspiracy and global control. We walk into each other's backyards. Anyway, so on the way to daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the world, Masakin Olam Al Choshakai, that conspiracy to daven for people. Okay, so the Rashba assumes that higher areas have to be officially zoned. That's more global than Bava Kama. It sounds like that could spill over to non-Bava Kama areas, though, because it's talking about utility, and there has to be places that are open for public in public areas for private utility and for Tashmish. It sounds like in theory that maybe affect Shabbos, or certainly could affect Kenyan. Whereas the Rush talked more about this balance between the animal's ability to access it versus not. Anywhere the animal can normally access heights, that's called Rishus HaRabim. Any heights that the animal has to stretch or jump to reach, based on Ilfin or Roshia, that we're going to call Rishus HaYachid for Bava Kama purposes. So it sounds like the Rush is creating unique, specific Bava Kama zoning. Sounds like the Rush, but is up to something a little bit broader. But what I'm more interested in is the common denominator between them. Both of them are envisioning what is Rishus HaYachid, what is Rishus HaRabim, because that's what's going to determine the Chiyav or the Ptur, both according to Ilfa, as well as according to Rav Moshe. As opposed to the Ramban, who felt that at least Ilfa is making a complete riff-like break with the consideration of Rishus. Why is an animal chayev by Gal Chavarta? Because anytime the animal eats in a way that isn't part of the animal's gait of walking, namely, animals walk with their head down, humans walk with their head up. When animals walk with their head down, they eat from whatever food is in their eyes' range. Anything outside of those parameters will be non-orche. Now, this is a radicalization of orche. You and I would have thought that anything is orche, anything normal in Rishus HaRabim. The Ramban's language is, you know what's orche and therefore pater in Rishus HaRabim? Only normal eating, imakom namuch b'derech hilucha. Anything that deviates from makom namuch b'derech hilucha, even though Yishai's in a classic Rishus HaRabim, and even though we don't zone anything different, don't tell me about zoning, this is a Rishus HaRabim mamish. This is a case where you'd be chayiv in Rishus HaRabim because it doesn't abide by the standards of Orche to make you pater in the Riff's world. Namely, Ilfa was a Riff fan. And that's why Ilfa could get away with being mechayiv al-gal chavrata because it's not Orche. Now, I would have said that maybe Rav Oshai is also a Riff man and his yardsticks for Orche are a little different. It doesn't sound that way from the Ramban. Sounds like that, at least according to the Ramban, the reason you need kofetzis according to Rav Oshai and Rava and Al-Gav Chavrata wouldn't be enough is because we need the animal to actually, physically, not just eat from a Rishus HaYachid in a classic way, but actually be located, shafkasa. We'll see what that can mean later when we get to newer models. So these are the two basic models for Ilfa and Rav Oshai. Again, Rashi's cryptic. We don't know what Rashi holds. We can speculate what Rashi holds. But we do have the Rashba, the Rush, using Ilfa and Rav Oshai to redefine zones, whereas the Ramban, at least in Ilfa, sounding a lot like the Riff. So the Ramban's version of Ilfa sounds like our first Rishon anchor for what the Riff had to say, right? The Rush talks about Ezarach. Yes, it's not in the Rishon. It's just a nice scenario that the Rush cooked up. But here we actually have the Riff emerging within the sheet of Ilfa. Okay? The parallel machlokes is not about vertical detached areas, but horizontal detached areas, where it's not a higher area, al-gav chavrata or kofetzis, but it's an area, of course, and this emerges in the Mishnah. This isn't a machlokes amarayim. Again, I'm skipping miskalgel. I'm putting, as we did when we learned, obviously, logically, even though textually miskalgel appears right next to Ilfa, anyone who's been to Rabbi Tarik and Shir, no, we don't follow the text, we follow the logic. And it's obvious that Rav and Shmuel, about Mechazeres, is much more similar to Ilfa and Ula. And who else found it similar, by the way? Just a spoiler. Who felt it the exact same machlokas? Who learned like me? Ramban, the Muhammad. So I'm not an idiot because Ramban and Muhammad said the same thing. So when you just know your way around Shas a little bit, then you're able to put things, move the chess pieces around a little bit. So we're going to now Chaf Aleph, but don't worry, we'll get back to Miskaka. We'll get back a little bit later to Miskaka. Okay, so in Chaf Aleph, you have Rav and Shmuel clocking in with their Tzidei HaRechava Chiyav. We had the Mishnah and Daf Yotes telling us that Tzidei HaRechava is Chayav, Tzidei HaRechava is a horizontal distance. What's the scenario? Now again, Rashi, consistent with Rashi, so it sounds like Rashi maybe wants something in Rashi. When Rav said Mechazeres, and Rav is clearly the bigger Chiddush, yes, because according to Shmuel, you need for the animal to actually move to Tzidei HaRechava. Right? If I just had Shmuel's version of the Mishnah, it wouldn't be such a big deal. I could call it Tzidei HaRechava or Shus HaYachid. I have ample precedent for calling Tzidei HaRechava or Shus HaYachid. It's actually a machlokus between Balazim and the Chachamim, which crops up for Shabbos, which crops up for Kinyan, which crops up when Shabbos and Kinyan overlap in those cases of Kamlei, where a Ganav is doing Geneva on Shabbos and his Kinyan and his Hotzah, so he's doing both Hotzah, right? Yes. Just because I love sharing these stories. I was testing a boy, a different boy, I had to give a bechina to last night. And he came with like his four sheets and he had prepared his piece of Torah. He says, yeah, just let us see like how they operate on the fly. So he was telling me about a Rosh Ben Chulin that says that Jews would cut their meat, and when they would cut their meat, they would make little letters to signify that it's Jewish meat, not non-Jewish meat, and they pass it on. So he was like going on to the next source because he prepared, you know, five pages. And they're like, I don't see one of the pages on my notes. So I said, stop. If a Jew cuts meat and puts those little letters on Shabbos, would it be over the Malach of Kosev? I said, if you get the answer to this question, you're in. So he thought about it, like it took a while to like process what I was saying. So he didn't know the answer. Okay, your homework is ask your Rebbe. I know it's Rebbe. Ask your Rebbe and get back to me. Would you be chay the Malach of Kosev if you cut meat and cut it in a way that letters emerge? Would that be considered Kosev? So, I don't know how we talked about that, but whatever we're talking about, that I was talking about Mechazaris. Right, so Tzidei HaRechava. Right, so you have Tzidei HaRechava. You have ample Shabbos and Kinyan, the Gemara Ksuvos, Lamed Aleph. Shmuel's not a problem. The real burning issue here is Rav. Why should an animal be Chayev if it ate from Tzidei HaRechava that's so close to the Rishus HaRabim and it's zoned as a Rishus HaRabim, and just so the animal turned its head a little bit as Mechazaris. This is a very, very extreme version. How do you explain Rav? It was so extreme that Rashi, again, had to explain Rav based on Karen. Again, it's a big fish in Karen. He said the animal's eating and just turned his head a little bit. Okay, that's for a different day. We don't have to worry about Karen today. Today's a no Karen zone. We're not going to talk about Karen today. Sounds like Rashi is a hardliner in Rav and is a hardliner in Kofetz. He doesn't really like to play games with Shane Varegel in Rosh Hashanah. But most Rishonim did play games. And the one who played the games the most was Tosfos. And Tosfos' game was very similar to the game in the Rush. The Rush played the height game. Tosfos played the ruler game, the vertical game, and the horizontal game. What part of Rishus Tzidei HaRechava is considered Rishus HaYachid? What part of Tzidei HaRechava is Rishus HaRabim? This is Tosfos. On Daf Chaf Aleph and Aleph. You want to follow Tosfos. Uvi Mechazeres. So it's his third Tosfos and Chaf Aleph. So Rav and Shmuel have this debate. Everyone has a ruler. Everyone has to apply a ruler. So much of Rishus HaRabim will extend into Rishus HaYachid. At which point Shaseach will commence in Tzidei HaRechava. Rav's ruler favored Rishus HaRabim, effectively favoring the Mazik. You know what part will be Rishus Ha? I'm sorry, the opposite. Rav's ruler favored the Nizik. Every part of Tzidei HaRechava will be considered Rishus HaYachid and will be Chayv and Shein V'Regel, except for parts of the Tzidei HaRechava the animal can eat without turning its head. Any part of Tzidei HaRechava that requires the animal turning its head to access food will be Rishus HaYachid and inwards. So essentially, just to help you visualize it, this is classic Rishus HaRabim, and this is classic Rishus HaYachid, and this is Tzidei HaRechava. According to Rav, anywhere that the animal has to be Mechazeres, which is a very, very adjacent area, will be Rishus HaYachid. This is Rav's Rishus HaYachid. Whereas according to Shmuel, the Rishus HaYachid will be zoned only by areas that the animal has to go to in order to get the food. The animal can just turn its head and get there. That part of Tzidei HaRechava is the Rosh HaSarabim. But if there's a part of the Tzidei HaRechava that the animal has to turn to and get to and walk to get that food, that will be. Now notice, the animal doesn't actually have to walk into the Rosh HaSarabim part. Now how's he going to get if he doesn't walk? But it's more of a ruler. If the food is so detached, the animal can only get it. Let's say, I don't know, an ace happens. The animal stretches its neck and does calisthenics and reaches food that it would normally have to get to. And that's where Tosfos talks about different animals. The Yerushalmi, if there's goats that can access on the back of larger animals that can't access because the goats are in boxes, little gadim. But again, according to Tosfos, without getting into the weeds of what Tosfos says, Tosfos is following the Rush and the Rashba. We don't have Tosfos Eitan on Daf Chaf about Kofetzes, but we have Tosfos on Daf Chaf Aleph about Mechazeres, which sounds a lot like the way the Rush and the Rashba dealt with Ilfa and Ravoshia about Agat Chavrata and Kofetzes. Once again, the Ramban didn't agree. Once again, and part of the reason the Ramban didn't agree, and listen, I'm just going to give you a little bit more information, not just Lamdas, Lamdas, Lamdas. The trick in this sugya is, according to Tosfos, that we're saying what part of Tzidei Rechava is allocated as a Shus HaYachid, and what part of Tzidei Rechava is allocated as a Shus HaRabim, the problem is Pesach HaChanus. The Mishnah says Pesach HaChanus is Pater. The Gemara goes all crazy. Oh, I'm going to be Pater. And that's to say that we're talking about a Pesach HaChanus that's in a Karen Zavis. According to Tosfos, Pesach HaChanus should be Pater because it's classic Rosh HaSarabim. Tzidei Rechava, no, that's a special area which we can zone as a Shoseach based on the ruler, how far in, how far out. A Pesach HaChanus is a normal thoroughfare. The people have the right to put their parents there. And the Mishnah has the right to say Pater because only about Tzidei Rechava should you be Chayiv. Pesach HaChanus should be Pater, according to Tosfos. According to Tosfos, it's all about zoning. So Tzidei Rechava is this twilight zone that I could mishmash. I can move forward and move backwards. Pesach HaChanus is a classic Shoseach, Rabbim. And that's what the Mishnah says. So what's the Gemara going? Oh, how could it be Chayim? And how could it be Pater? And then we're asked to cook up an Okimta of Karen Zavis. That's a problem according to Tosfos. Because his zoning seems to be limited to Tzidei Rechava. So we answer the chair. Maybe you could equivalently zone Pesach HaChanus as Rosh HaSeyachin. But that's already getting far away from the Mishnah's Okimta of Tzidei Rechava. This is, he doesn't quote this, but this is presumably what led the Ramban to say, again, Tzidei HaRechava, Rav and Shmuel were not trying to zone Rishus HaYachid in marginal areas such as Tzidei HaRechava. Tzidei HaRechava is we're trying to determine what is a classic Orcha eating, what is not a classic Orcha eating, at least according to Rav. According to Rav, a classic Orcha eating is animals that walk and eat Mimakom Namach in the middle of the road. If they stretch to a makom gavoa, that's not orche. If they move their heads even to a non-makom, that's not orche. And you'd be chayef, according to Rav, who stacks up according to Ilfa. The machlok is Rav and Shmuel, parallels the machlok is Ilfa and Rav Hoshaya. Where Shmuel, again, Shmuel, like Rav Hoshaya, said, no, the animal has to physically relocate to a Rosh HaSayachid, whether it's a Tzidei Rechava Rosh HaSayachid, or whether it is on top of another animal, as the Ramban learned Kofet says. Now, why we need not just to eat from a Rosh HaSayachid, but to actually physically relocate to a Rosh HaSayachid, we'll see in Mirth Hashem a little bit later. Okay? So this is the second machlokas of the tandem machlokas between Ilfa and Rav Hoshaya, Rav and Shmuel. Again, following the logical route, not necessarily the textual route, we then looked at the case of Mekatze Makom, because Mekatze Makom is the inverse of Ilfa, Rav Hoshaya, and Rav and Shmuel. Oh, for the Messiah, or cooking up cases of Chiyuv and Rosh HaSarabim, what about a potential case of a Petur in Rosh HaSayachid? That's the second day of the Gemara about what Rav and Shmuel were talking about. When Rav and Shmuel had his machlokas mechazeres, hello, the Gemara first thought they were talking about the Mishnah. They're saying, oh, the Mishnah says Tzidei Rechava, Rav says Afilu b'mechazeres, Shmuel says only Dishavkasa. The second version of the Gemara is that Rav and Shmuel were not commenting on the Mishnah. Rav and Shmuel had an autonomous machlokas. And their machlokas was not about Tzidei Rechava. Their machlokas was about peros that are in Yerushus, that maybe the animal will be pater. That's Rav's big chiddush. That if I put peros into my rishus somehow, and your animal comes in, you're going to be pater. How could you do that? That's an even bigger challenge. It's one thing to make chiyuv shein beregel and rishus arabim. How can you make a pater rishus? So again, Rashi felt the pressure. This is consistent Rashi. And therefore, Rashi devised a scheme that doesn't really give any chiddush and shein v'regel. That when Rav said, in particular, your pater, when Rav said the word mechazeres, he didn't really mean mechazeres, he meant mekatze makom. The word mechazeres is is not, Rav didn't even say those words. Rav is talking about Makatsa Makom. The Chazaris, everyone holds that you'd be Chayev. Rav and Shmuel are talking about Makatsa Makom. How could you be Patur Nishas HaYachid? So, according to Rashi, we're talking about a case where you left your peros, and you were Mafki Rashuso, you said everyone could come in, and that pre becomes a bor, because people are going to be walking by and tripping on a bor, and when it comes to bor, there's Halach of Kolokot and Zachal, because it's Hefker, and that's why Rav says you're Patur. There is no way to make Shane and Regal Patur Nishas HaYachid. The only way to make Shane and Regal Patur Nishas HaYachid is to call the peros Hefker. And the only way to call the peros Hefker is to turn the peros into a bor. See how Rashi's the maestro, getting everyone to play together so that he can avoid the doomsday scenario of Shane and Regal or Shoseach being part. You do this, you do that, everyone playing the symphony together, because Rashi does not want to say that Rav can make Shane and Regal putter. It's like the inverse of Rashi. Rashi didn't want to make Shane and Regal chayiv and Shoseach, and he didn't want to make Rav say that you're putter and Shoseach. It's hard to know because we have fragments in Rashi, but this is fascinating that Rashi consistently avoids saying what we're saying, that you can flip around the script and make it chiyuv nishas harabim and patur nishas harabim. But most Rishonim didn't. And here's the machlokas between Tosfos and the Ri. You have to be careful because it sounds like it's Tosfos, but it's not. It's two different approaches. Tosfos is still into zoning, and miraculously, even though you can zone parts of Rishus Tzidah HaRachava as Rishus HaYachid, places of yours that are close to Rishus HaRabim, and you've given people the right to walk through, will be zoned as Rishus HaRabim, which is very counterintuitive. Tzidah HaRachava, the second that the animal has to reach to get peros there, that's called the Rishus HaYachid. But my area, and Hillel, we're not talking about what Mafki or the area, because it's clearly Rishus HaRabim, that won't be a Chiddush and Rav. I wasn't mafkir my area. I just gave people the right to walk through. And it's patur because at that point, since people have the right to walk through, it's Rishus HaRabim, with the key difference being, Tosfos Dibra Maschil Ki Undaf Chafal. Let's read Tosfos, the key lines. The Tzidei Rechava, three lines from where it gets wide. Tzidei Rechava Him Givohim V'Rechavim U'Muvdalam Imenu V'Chashuvim Chatzor Anizek Avol Mekatzem Makom Shavu Rishus HaRabim. Tosfos feels that Adam more important than ownership is pass-through and leveling. Tzidei Rechava is a sidewalk. So that could be considered Rishus HaYachid at a certain distance. But when there's no sidewalk between my Rishus and Rishus HaRabim, and it's an even plane, then for Bava Kama, that becomes zoned as Rishus HaRabim, he's zoned of it, even though I haven't been mafgirit legally, since it's so easy for people just to walk through. And I've given people the Rishus to walk through, and there's no ledge or anything that's going to make their gate, G-A-I-T, pause or anything. That's called, don't ask me to explain it, because it's a big, big Chiddush in Tosfos. But again, you see Tosfos is still trying to rezone and remap Bava Kama scenarios based on accessibility, based on a height, a leveling, a gradient. Whereas the Re, and this is, okay, everyone, Yeshena Mishinaschem, Eres Shabbos, here is the Chiddush. The Re said that you know why Rav said Pater in Rishus HaYachid? It has nothing to do with Rishus. And it has nothing to do with Orche. Rav said Pater, again, his equation to Bor right now notwithstanding, because it could be your Rishus HaYachid. But if you gave people the right to walk into your Rishus HaYachid and you left your peros there, assuming you can't trust people to walk carefully, Yev Shel B'Tzamzeh, which is a Bor inherited concept, you're the Poshea, not the Mazik. Here is the new paradigm. Big bang. Here is the new paradigm coming into life. We don't need it until this Sugya. Until you need something, don't say it. Until this Sugya, we're very comfortable operating with these two paradigms. One is there is a Kasev, one is the Rif. In this Sugya, the Ri says you need to make someone Pater Nishas HaYachid. How could you be Pater Nishas HaYachid? It has to be that. And remember, we're now inverting. It's not that you need a Rishus HaYachid to be Chayev. Shein is Chayev everywhere. It just so happens that in Rishus HaRabim, there's a mitigating circumstance because the Nizik was Poshea, putting his peros there. So once I say that you're Chayev anywhere, Adam, in Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaRabim, then I'm obliterating zoning. I could care less about zoning. You're Chayev everywhere. It just so happens that in Rishos Sarabim, the Nizik was hyper-negligent by leaving his peros. His negligence either in the extreme cases, like your mafki or peros, who remembers this, you get a lot of points if you remember this, or if you cheated, which very, very provocative Amora actually talked about Hefker, that if you leave your peros in Rishos Harabim, they're Hefker, and anyone can take them, and not even, who talked about that? Rabbi Bar Chamon, Daf Chafam and Beis, in his conversation with Rabbi, very good, okay, that's really extreme. But we don't really need Rabbi Bar Chamon's radical Hefker language. We can just say that if a Nisik leaves his peros in Rishos Harabim, then he's Poshea, who told you to leave your peros, and your Pshia mitigates the Mazik's Pshia, your Pshia, waives any rights, whatever the Pshia of the Nizik does to offset the Pshia of the Mazik. That's why you're Pater. So all of a sudden, all right, I've stopped talking about zones. I've started to talk about where the Pshia Nizik is a Pshia, where the Nizik is not a Pshia. That is the determinant. I don't care. There's also something to stay Acher. I don't care where you are. You can be Chayiv and Rishos HaYachad, you can be Chayiv and Rishos HaRabim, you can be Chayiv on the moon. I don't care. It just so happens, Rishos HaRabim is a mitigating Ptur of the Nizik. And you know what? The Nizik is also a Poshea if he moves his peros close enough to Rishos HaRabim, allowing people to walk through, even if he doesn't allow people to walk through in theory. Because people are going to walk through, he should have taken that into account. This is the Re explaining Rav. Okay? And it sounds like even Shmuel buys into the concept. He just says, it happens to be Yisrael David that you're not a Poshea because you can count on people to be more careful. So the Machlokas is not categorically, the Machlokas is technically. Even Shmuel would agree that if the Nizik were Poshea, he would offset the Mazik, but it's just Rabbi Jannah Poshea, because people are going to be careful, Efshel and Samsing. And, key, crucial, important line, here we go, Shani Hacha, Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, you know why you're punter in a classic Rishos HaYachid? Da Amar, because we tell the Nizik, Lav Kol Keminach Demekarafta Lehu Leperosecha, Lerushus HaRabim, Umechayavis Lehu Letoroi. The Mazik tells the Nizik, it's your fault. You put your peros too close. And that's how the Re justifies. You see the breaking point? Until now, we didn't have a breaking point. Until now, everything we had, Ilfer, Hoshea, Rav, and Shmuel, could be justified based on our two models. Here, there's a breaking point. How could you be Pater and Rishos HaYachid? What does that mean? It's not Orcha, you should be Chayiv, it's Rishos HaYachid. So Tosus had to scramble, and Rashi had to scramble. And the Re just says, simply, the Ptur revolves not around Rishios. This breaks the model of Rishios. This changes the paradigm. That's why I'm ordinating the Gemaras this way, okay? If you want, this is a good, you know, like when you're on these tours, this is a good, or the mountain hike, this is a good jumping off point. If you want to take the sugi easily, you can just think about these three sugyas, because they're fundamental. Ilfer and Hoshaya, Rav and Shmuel, and Mekatzimah. We're now going to go up on the hard hike, you know, the 10-kilometer hike, to go up to the next peak, and we're going to talk about Misgalgel, and we're talking about Pipara, we're talking about Chatzar HaShufim, talking about different cases of Chatzar HaShufim. So it's going to get harder now. Now's the hard part of the Tiyol. Okay, so I want to create breaks in your mind. Okay, if you don't understand the rest of the Tiyol, at least try to lock in this, because this is a mini sugya, three sugyos, three paradigms, and why you need it, and actually three gemaras. V'chiyo chazana sounds like the riff. Lav kol keminach sounds like it's pshiyos and nisik. Great. We're going to end the sugya here. This is the kiddie pool. Now we're going into the deep end. Get ready. Yazaria.
How are you defining how the mechanism of pshiyos and nisik works?
I don't know. It's hefker, it's mochel, it's undercutting the mazik. That's already, we need more cases to try. I could say things, but I need to have cases to actually prove it. We talked about it a little bit by Kol HaMishano, Bach, HaMashino, Bach, Julius, and Shane Beregel. So if we wanted to, we're going to scour Baba Kama for cases where the Nizik is guilty and his guilt undercuts the Mazik's guilt. But for our purposes, I'm more interested in giving you these three vectors. We'll see where a fourth vector is necessary. Yes, Isha.
Are we not seeing the kind of Tosfos Rashba model of the zoning as its own model?
No, and that's why if you look at the sheet, they're worried about how to define Rishos HaYachid and Rishos HaRabim. So the presumption is it's about Rishos. The question is, how do I define Rishos? I mean, it's all relevant. Obviously, if I focus on that part of the tree, I can build it into its own model. But for the purposes of Baba Kama, it's important for you to see it in context. It's really a minor question, as opposed to these questions, which are major. Zeres HaKasev, Orchei, Trias and Isaac, and then our fourth model, which we haven't had a need for yet, so we're going to wait till we have a need. Okay? Yes?
What exactly is the difference between Tosfos and Aruv?
Tosfos feels that we're still zoning, and this has become zoned as a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim because you've allowed people to walk through, and there's no gradient.
Even though you haven't fully been mafkir.
No one says mafkir. It sounds like if you're mafkir, then there's no chitch. So everyone's trying to avoid saying mafkir. So going to Rashi, you're mafkir, you're mafkir Rosh Hashanah, not mafkir the board. But if it's just mafkir Rosh Hashanah, you've turned into just a Rabbim, I wouldn't eat Rashi Dami Pap. It would be a big chitch. So everyone's avoiding being mafkir. That's like the needle you have to thread. How can I create a case for your puppet if it's a mafkir Rosh Hashanah? So Rashi had a mousetrap called Bor, and that created Hefker. Whereas the Ri says, oh, this is my moment. This is my moment to say that Rav has nothing to do with the Shia. So this is so black and white. And that's why it's a second day, 2 days in the Gemara, what Rav and Shmuel were talking about. Okay? Okay. As we say, forward, weiter. Okay, let's turn our attention back to Misgalgal. We'll talk a little bit about Lekicha versus Achila. We'll talk about that in the context of Pipar, where the Gemara has a strange scenario. That will be one peak that we're going to climb to. And then the next peak that we're going to climb to is the Chatzar Shufim peak. Okay, just to give you a sense of the mountain, the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Tour mountain, the first peak is playing around with the Shios, either way. The next peak is gauging Lekicha and Achila. The highest peak in terms of difficulty is the Chatzar Shufim. So when you say it that way, it's not so crazy. You see the power of categories? It's not just to give you understanding, but to give you ishai, perspective and retention ability. Right? These are 10 shiurim, more or less, but if you just categorize them properly, it's not that much here. There's the three sugyas we talked about. There's the question of Lekicha versus Achila by Misgalgel. Then there's Chatzar Shufim. Okay, now each of those are pretty hard sugyas, but to create coordinates in your head, these are the 6 or 7 coordinates about Shein Torah. Okay? Kapish, let's go for it. Misgalgal. What's happening by Misgalgal? Okay. So I'm actually going to... we'll read it sequentially. According to Rashi, Misgalgal throws the following question out there. What happens if there's Lekicha from one Rishos and Achil in a different Rishos? Do you focus on the Lekicha separate or do you focus on the Achila separate? That's how Rashi viewed Reb Zeira's question, and Reb Zeira never reached a conclusion. By the way, in some other universe, when you're here for 45 years learning Bava Kama's train, you may want to stack this issue of Reb Zeira with the Shita of Reb Zeira that we'll talk about a little later on your Dalai. We're now not trying to say what Reb Zeira, we're looking at the whole sugya. But stacking what did Rava feel about Bava Kama, what did Rashi feel about Bava Kama, what did Reb Zeira feel about Bava Kama, you can then stack ideas and see ideas that are similar or consistent. But let's just treat Reb Zeira and Daf Chaf as a separate conversation. Now, why should this question even be relevant? So one way to phrase it is, look, my natural inclination is to follow the Lekicha. Because we all know that in Bava Kama, what's crucial is the breakage. Because we all know that Bava Kama is about destruction, not about loss. Because we all know that Hezek Shein Nikra Lashma Hezek. Essentially, it's Echila. Why should I even start thinking about the Lekicha? And the reason I start thinking about the Lekicha as a potential standalone chiyuv, the animal took it from a Shesei Achid, is maybe I have to change my Bava Kama global view. Maybe Bava Kama is not really about breakage. Maybe Bava Kama is about Pshia that leads to potential Hefsid. We talked about this a lot. If you remember where, what did we really deconstruct this question? In an unrelated, air quotes, sugya, but everything is related. Who remembers?
Shane?
Oh, we're talking about Shane now. Where do we get this? You're accepted to yeshiva if you get this answer. I always give like these like crazy questions. You accept the yeshiva if you get this answer. Where do we really break down the anatomy of Maisa Nezek and Bava Kama? Do we care about Pshia that leads to potential Hefsid, or we need breakage? And here we're breaking it down because we're separating it by two areas. One is Rosh Hashanah Yachal, one is Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, one is Lekicha, one is Achila, what do I care about? We broke it down temporally, chronologically, physics, T's. Who remembers the T's?
Ish, Saros.
What? Saros, but a particular situation in Saros. Basar, Meikaraz Lina, Basar Basofas Lina. Remember, we had two ways to view that. Is it a din in the Chefza? Is the Chefza considered Shavuor? or it's a din, the maisa, do we look at the chinos maisa, the sofa maisa, when the sofa maisa is already in potential. So it's really parallel sugars. These are cousins. Do I look at the pshia that creates a potential loss, or I have to wait for the actual loss? One way to gauge that is T's and T0, T1s, if it happens across time. Another way to gauge it is when it's different from shia, sikhi and achia. Obviously, they're only genetically related. You can say one, not the other, but just in your mind, these are global Baba Kama questions. So when Zera walked into the room, he said, I know one day, long after I live, Rabbi will come and talk about basa mekar, basa basov, but I want to talk about it a different way, basa lekicha, basa rachila. That would be one way to look at it. In which case, he said, it's not really so Shane relevant. Another way is to say, look, everyone knows that for Baba Kama, you need for the object that's being damaged to be damaged. Just like ABC is a Baba Kama. Baba Kama isn't Geneva. Baba Kama isn't Halva. Baba Kama is damage to items. You know the possibility to focus on the Lekicha because the item being damaged in Shein Veregel is not the food that's going to be eaten only later in Rosh Hashanah. You know the item being attacked? Come on, tell me. Not the food, but the... What? The land, the rishis. And you're right, if we're looking at the food being attacked, that happens later at the achila, and we know we have to base ourselves on the item being attacked and when it's broken, so of course, we're going to say basar achila, basar achila, basar achila, basar achila. Now, avamina, say basar lekicha, is because in Shein Veregel, the attack is on the land. Through taking something from the land and entering the land. That's a difference between Shusa Yachad and Shusa Rabba. Not because there's a Kasav or Orche, it's because the entry and taking is the Chiyav, and in Shusa Rabba there's no entry and taking. So here the entry and taking happened in Shusa Yachad. What do I care where we're eating? The eating is just, show that there's something to pay for. But basically, by encroaching on my Rishus, it's like, if you want to say in your football terms, Shein Veregel is offsides. If you're offsides, you pay. Okay, now if you're offsides and no one gets hurt, not a big deal. If you're offsides and someone gets hurt, then you have to pay for it. Here is where we started to think about that fourth model. And we quoted two or three general questions that may relate to this. For example, Reb Tarfon. Reb Tarfon says, okay, now you're big enough Lamdanim that I could just say it in classical Lamdisha language, that Keren Tam pays Nezek Shalem in Rosh Hashanah. Keren Tam, we know, pays Chatzi Nezek, but Reb Tarfon says in Chav Talit that Keren Tam pays Nezek Shalim in Rosh Hashanah. Is that a Chiddush in Keren? Again, Zev, not for us today. Or is that a Chiddush in Rosh Hashanah? That Shein Veregel taught us that anytime you invade Rosh Hashanah, you pay for the attack on the Rosh Hashanah. So what do I care whether it's Shein attack, whether it's a Keren attack, any encroachment into my Rosh Hashanah, that's your Nezek Shalim. Why does Karen pay Nezek Shalim in Rosh Hashanah? Not because of an intensification of Karen, because it's like Shane, what do I care? Once there's encroachment, I don't care about the motive. There's encroachment and attack, and it depends on where Reb Tarfon gets his limud from. We talked about it a little bit. Reb Meidan, I'm sure, talked about it in the Kal V'chomer Shir Klali. Okay? Second thing we saw is the Gemara on Daf Nun He Amad Beis and Nun Tes Amad Beis. There are many shittos, but at least the Tanakhama says you don't evaluate the fruit. You evaluate the fruit based on its value to the land. So if I damage a row of, my animal eats a row of fruit, I don't pay a row of fruit on the market. I say, well, the land with the row of fruit was worth $100. Now the row of fruit has been eaten, it's only worth $95, which would be much less than a row of fruit. Shaman al-Gavsada. That could be, remember we saw the Pasuk, the Chazal break it down, biste acher ubir biste acher, that essentially there are two limudim. One is to create a Torah Shus Arabim. One is to teach us assessment strategies. One we learn from the word stay acher. One we learn from the word biste acher. Is biste acher and stay acher teaching us location? Or is biste acher teaching us the victim of the damage? We've been thinking until now that biste acher is in what location would you be chayv a Shein Veregel? Shein Veregel and Shus Arabim is the same as Shein Veregel and Shus Ayachid. For whatever reason, Shein Veregel as a Mazik and Shus Arabim is Pater. Shein Veregel as a Mazik and Shus Ayachid is Chayef. Now we're saying, no, Shein Veregel and Shus Arabim is a different experience than Shein Veregel and Shus Ayachid because there's no encroachment in Shus Arabim and you're Chayef for the encroachment. This could be why the Ramban said that at least according to Rav Hoshaya on Daf Chaf, and according to Shmuel, on Daf Chaf Aleph, you'd need the animal to actually relocate itself to Rosh Hashayachid, whether it means jumping on the back of another animal, whether it means because Ramban felt, in his mind, that it's only considered encroachment if the animal actually moves into the Rosh, not if it grabs it. Rashi felt that any lakicha is considered encroachment. Maybe the Ramban felt the animal has to actually move its body into the Rosh and go get the food in order for it to be a violation. So Rashi may have had a more radical view of encroachment. Any lakicha would be considered encroachment, whereas Ramban would require a shechita. We also use this concept, since we're talking about the topic, we also use this concept to help understand Tosos. Tosos feels a sugya of miskalgel is rolling food, not an animal that took it from Rosh Hashayachid, but food that's on its way out of Rosh Hashayachid, on its way to Rosh Hasharabim, where the animal be chayiv, even though the animal walked into Rosh Hashayachid, ate it in Rosh Hashayachid, consumed it in Rosh Hashayachid, he came into your house, Avi, ate your food, sat at your table, slept in your bed, but since the food was rolling out, you'd be patur. Like, what? What in the world is Tosfos talking about? So he postulated that if eating food is not an attack on the food, but eating food is an attack on the area, on the land, by eating the food, what about food that's already been detached from the land? What about food that no longer relates to the land? What about food that isn't associated with the land? So physically the animal's in my rishos eating my food, but this food is already considered rishos harabim food because it's about to be a rishos harabim. Eating food that's going to end up rishos harabim anyway may not be an attack on the land. Namely, if the chiyav shein v'regel in rishos hayachid is an attack on the land, we have to think about the relationship between the paras and the land. We're trying to create an attack on the land by eating the paras. What about paras that are disassociated from the land? What about paras that are no longer really part of the land? Would eating paras be considered an attack on the land? Okay? So this is the sugya of Misgalgel. Rashi and the Ravid feel that, and I'll quote a Ravid in a moment, Rashi and the Ravid feel that we're talking about the possibility of a lakicha as a standalone chiyuv of the Ravid in the second Lashon. Tosfos feels like we're gauging a case that should be chayav, but maybe pater because the food's rolling out. Either way, this sugya, big picture, Yishai, big picture, Zev, everyone else, obviously, this sugya nudges us to that fourth paradigm. All of a sudden, my three previous ones may not be enough to justify why the kicha should be a standalone chayav. My three previous ones may not be enough to say why rolling food is pater. Somehow this lakicha standalone chiyav may require me to build that fourth model where the chiyav is attacking, and we proved it from other areas in Shas. So just to see how the sugya flows, now that we're moving up to the next peak, sounds like this new option, which we don't have a clear gemar. There's no gemar like the other two options, the rif, the chiyav chazana. Shias anizik, lav kol kamina. There's no smoking gun gemara that says this, but it's out there. And we'll talk about it again in another moment. It's out there, and somehow we have to account for it. Okay? Now, how should we go from here? We're taking a break from Chatzar Shifrim. We'll get to Chatzar Shifrim. Because we had this very, very strange gemara called Pi Para, Ki Chatzar Hamazik U Chatzar Nizik Dami, and it wasn't clear what case the gemara was talking about. It wasn't clear what the presumptions were. I'll tell you what the Ravid says, and then I'll tell you what Tosfos says, because Tosfos provides a finish. Now again, just in context, how do we even get to Pipara? There was this question, again, follow Natan. There was this question out there, how do we cheat Pipara in some cases, Chatzar Maza, Chatzar Nizik? And somehow we proved from the case of the Kelev Shenatal Charara and the Gemara's explanation, according to Tosfos, we proved that Pipara has to be Chatzar Nizik. And that was where we shown there's like this disconnect between how we proved it, what were the presumptions. So the Ravid felt that Pi Para is where there's no lakicha from Rishus HaNizik, because the Ravid feels that if the animal puts it into its mouth, there's certainly going to be a lakicha from Rishus HaNizik to be mechayev you. Namely, again, how that interplays with the Bzera right now I'm not going into, but the Ravid feels that lakicha is a standalone chayev. The Pipara case is where there's no lakicha because it took it from Rishus Adam Acher, so there's no lakicha. There's no, in our terms, there's no invasion of Rishus Hayachid. And the Gemara wants to know, in those cases, can you be chayv on the Achila or Pipara is Kachatzer Amazik? And we prove in the case of Kel Shenotel Charara, where the Gemara assumes, according to the Ravid, the animal took it from a non-Rishus Anizik, he took it from a Rishus Shlishis, And still the Gemara is Mechayiv, if you ate it in the Gaddish of the Balach Harara. So it sounds like not only is Lakicha a standalone Chiyiv, but Achil is a standalone Chiyiv. So the Ravid is an easier way to learn the Sugya. Again, what's the relationship, listen carefully just to have the coordinates straight, between Reb Zeira's question about Lakicha versus Achil according to the Ravid, and what sounds like the Maskan of the Gemara and Daf Chav Gimel, that Lakicha is standalone from Rishus and Achid is Chayiv, and Achil is standalone from Rishus and Achid is Chayiv. Maybe different types of Lakicha according to the Ravid. But the Ravid's way of reading Pipara, pretty straightforward. What happens if you don't have Lakicha from Rishus and Nizek, and you only have an Achil and Rishus and Nizek, and the Mishnah clocks in and says you're Chayiv, because the Mishnah is just that case, with this Lakicha from a third party, and Achil and Rishus of the Balach Harara. Tosvos had a whole different way of learning the Sugya. Tosvos felt that the Maskana, I'm not going to tell you what the Havamina was, the Maskana was you need both Lakicha and Achila. For some reason, you need both Lakicha and Achila in Rosh Hashanah, which is why Avikon Tosfos was forced to understand, look at my hands, Reb Zera's question on Daf Chaf is, oh, totally out of here. Because Reb Zera couldn't be asking Lakicha versus Achila, because we all know you need both. So Reb Zera's question, according to Tosfos, is not about Lakicha versus Achila, it's about you need both. His question was rolling through and whatever. You see, Tosfos is consistent on Chaf Gimel and Daf Chaf. What? You need Lakicha and Achila. Why? For now, not important. You need both, according to Tosfos. And the Gemara's question was, what happens if you don't have such a great Lakicha, namely the Chereshot Tebekatan walked into the Rishus and Nizek and put into the animal's mouth. The animal didn't grab it. And the answer is, you need both and still you're Chayiv. Listen carefully. Here is a major moment, and it's very, very hard, so you have to put your finger on it. Tosfos comes to the conclusion that you need both Lakicha and Achila from Rishus and Nizek, but you don't need Lakichas Behema from Rishus and Nizek. You just need Lakicha anyone from Rishus and Nizek. Say it again. This is a tremendous riddle, and it's what led the Rabbeinu Tam to one of our two new models, and I'll tell you which one. Okay, listen to this paradox. And Mishnah will ask and tells us, on the one hand, the Maskan of the Gemara is you need both Lakicha and Achila from Rishus and Nizek. But the Lakicha from Rishus and Nizek doesn't have to be by the Behema. It could be based on the Chereshot Tevakat, and it's not in the picture. Namely, can anyone crack the riddle, remember? If the Chereshot of a Katan taking it from Rishus and Nizek and putting it into the animal's mouth is enough, then you really don't need Lakicha from Rishus and Nizek. What do you need? You can't have. Can anyone crack it? It was the hardest thing we said, Parshavaz was here. You need Lakicha and Achila from Rishus and Nizek, but the Lakicha can be done from the Chereshot of a Katan. And you'd be Chai, Baal Behemah. Right, we'll say it better. Let me say it less sophisticated. You don't need Lakicha from Rishus and Nizek, you just can't have Lakicha from Rishus and Nizek. I don't need Lakicha from Rishus and Nizek. I need Lakicha from Rishus and Nizek, so that's not Lakicha from Rishus and Rabim. Because if it's Lakicha from Rishus and Rabim, Zev, then I got Rishus and Nizek to exaggerate me. I don't need Lakicha as part of the Mechayiv. Because if so, how can the Chereshot V'Kat be Mechayiv me? He's not a player. He's not me. He's someone else. I need that it should be taken from Rishus HaYachid, either my animal, normal case, or the wind putting it in my animal's mouth, or the Chereshot HaVakata. Because if there's a Lakicha from Rishus HaRabim, then I got problems. Then I got the Nizek offsetting. And that's exactly how the Rabbeinu Tam explained this scenario. Namely, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, the second point in the Sugi of Shame that I'm forced into this Pshias HaNizek, which obliterates Rishus, it's not about Rishus, it's about the Nizek's complicity. The second moment is one, Rav Mekatzemako, that you putter in Rishus HaYachid if the pairs are too close. Two, Tosas is a strange way to learn this Sugya, that you need both Lakicha and Achila, but Lakicha can be Tamei Chereshot V'Katan. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says. I'm not going to read it to you, but this is the second moment that the Shas system forces me into Pshias HaNizek, according to the Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, there are other ways to learn, but this is Tosas' way to learn. If you got it, you got it. If not, don't worry, we're moving on to another peak. Okay? So to summarize, what have we seen so far? We have seen the three cases, two Rishus HaRabim of Chayiv, one Rishus HaYachid, which is Pater, and then we saw Misgalgel, which breaks into two sugyas. One, with the classic way to learn Misgalgel, is probing Lakicha versus Achila. Tosas would have none of that, Because in Tosas world, you need both. So Tosas took Miskalgel to rolling food, and somehow you have to find a way to make an animal pato and rolling food, Abikom, even though animal came into your house, ate your lunch, sat in your bed. Since the food was rolling, you'd be pater. That's extreme Tosas, because he couldn't imagine Lekicha being a standalone Chiyav based on his conclusion on Daf Chavke. Okay? We have finished Shein. Unless you know to look on Daf Yudal. And believe me, a lot of people don't know. Right? It's this whole sugya waiting for us on Yudal, which is clearly going to help us dig down to Shein. But since it's on Yudal, since it's not in the flow, overnight it gets overlooked. We spend a couple days in Yudal. Okay? Yudal breaks into essentially two sugyas. One is a general conversation about Chatzer HaShutfin. You and I are full partners for cows, for fruit, we're full partners. You damage me, is that Stehecher? The second part is, what if the allocation of rights is not universal, but we can't have animals, we can't have peros, you can have peros, I can have animals. That's based on too many brisos. The Gemara feels that these cases have to be adjusted. So we're going to talk about each of those cases. Case number one, Chatzer HaShutfin, Chayev or Pater. Sounds like it's a Machlokas Amorayim between Rev Chizda and Rav Shim Ben Gamliel. Shim Ben Gamliel, yes, on Daf Yud Gimel on the base. Okay, let's think of Rav Yud Gimel on the base. Regular case, we have this very strange Mishnah, Rishos HaMazik Ben Nizik, which led us to Amar Rav Chizda, Amar Rav Yimi, Chatzer HaShutfin, Chayev Ba. Rav Chizda says Chayev, Rav Lazim says Pater. Okay. Most Rishonim, Paskin, Pater, the Gemara sounds like it changes, and they're arguing about only a very specific case. So we're going to go with the Pater option. In Shir, we talked about both options. But what I would like to stick in your mind is that the Gemara basically feels that Chatzer HaShutfin is Pater. Okay, sounds good. Get ready for the Chiddush. Okay, it makes sense, Pater. It makes sense because the Mazik has rights to enter, and if the Mazik has rights to enter, it's not considered a stay acher for the Mazik. And that's the way I read the pasuk. I look at my shoulders. It's all great. Mistayacher is pater. Everything rosy. And not only that, but if someone else comes in and damages one of the shufim, he'd be chayev, which is what Rashi and the Rashba say both here in Daf Mem Ches, because for that mazik it is stayacher, because he doesn't have the right. We have the right. And everything is rosy and calm until you realize the Gemara says that if I damage my shutuf in a Sada Shlishis, I'm pater. Whoa, wait a second. The whole definition of Sada is based on Mazik's rights. And in my field, I have rights and I'm pater, but what about in a third person's field? I don't have rights. Why shouldn't I be pater? Said in Rabbi Tarrigan's speak, there are too many Peturim around. there are too many Peturim for our own good. Right? If I just had the binary world of Chatzer HaShutfin Pater, okay, because I got rights, I'm the Mazik, I got rights, that's the Echer. And when a third party invades our joint field and damages me, you don't have rights, you're a Chaya. What happens when I damage my Shutuf in a third person's field? The Gemara says, Pater, why? I don't have rights. So we have two choices. And here's a moment in Bava Kama. And you won't notice it because it's on your Dalit. But maybe our moment. Maybe there are multiple Pturs. Nothing about our system say they're mutually exclusive. In theory, you can concoct a system where in Rosh Hashanah there are multiple Pturs in action. There's Xeris HaKasuv, and it's less Pshia, and it's Pshia and Nizek. Okay, you can't really have the fourth one along with the others because the fourth one redefines the Nizek. There's nothing preventing that. And then you can relearn all the sugyos based on that multiple Torahs option, right? But we never had to say it until we got to this point, because we're never talking about multiple Torahs. We're always talking about one Torah, what do you apply? You see why the sugya is so important? Because by broadening the amount of rishuyos you're about there, all of a sudden it forces me to... Another way, creatively, is can you find one Torah? You want to take a stab at this. Can you find one Torah which would apply... of our four, both in Chatzer HaShutfin and in Chatzer Shlishis. Don't say Orche, because Zorche would apply in Chazal Shofim, but it wouldn't apply in Chazal Shlishas, right? Don't say stay Acher, because make your choice. Is it based on Masik or Nisik? In Chazal Shofim, the Masik has less than a stay Acher, but in Chazal Shlishas doesn't have rights, so. Is it Masik Nisik based stay Acher? Don't try that. The only one that can really integrate the two is attacking a field. The Chiyuv Sheinberg is attacking a field, she's not attacking a field. You know two cases with no attack on a field? Where I'm sure they've been a field, or it's a third person's field that ate your pair. So eating your pair in the third person's field isn't attacking a field by eating the pairs. That's like super lumpy, so don't integrate that. But this is a real problem. How can you say Chatzar Shifrin is Pater, which seems to say that Steach revolves around the Mazik, which seems to be right, which makes a lot of sense, and then flip it around and say, but wait a second, even if the Mazik doesn't have rights, I'm making Pater if the Nizik also doesn't have rights. Like, how do you fit those two pieces of your Lego together? It's landlocked on Dafyud Gimel and Beis, but it's a major, major question. And it's going to force something to move to budge in Baba Kama. It's going to force some adjustment in your view. The same thing that's going to force an adjustment is the Machlokas, Abaya, and Reb Zera. And with this, we're almost going to end. And we'll end, in fact, I want to just quote one more Gemara and Memchas, but what happens when finally I get to a case where animals can walk through, but Peros, animals can't walk through, but Peros can be placed there? Would that also be Pater? Assuming Chazar Shifrin is Pater, which is how the Gemara moves along, what happens with the Shifras is qualitatively limited to Peros for both parties, but not for Shvar. So in keeping with our default position, Abai says, you'd be chayiv. If Shvarim can't enter, you know, it's a whatever, it's a hyperpshia and you're chayiv. So miyuchadis lezev lezev l'shvarim be, enim yuchadis lezev lezev shvarim yuchadis lezev lezev peros, Abai says chayiv. And, you know, you can apply Abai, you'll see on the table, I'll review the table very quickly for you. Abai has multiple options. Abai is not a big chiddush. Abai can fit many, many. The chiddush is Ubzera. Ubzera says that for some reason, everything is about the peros. And if I have the right to put peros in your shvarim, then you'd be pater, even though the shvarim can't enter. You'd be pater, even though the shvarim can't enter. And depending on whether you hold like Rashi or Tosfos, I'm just going to show you Rashi's because this is the sharp logic. But if only one person has peros rights, then you'd be chayiv. Try making that work. Try putting that in your pipe and smoking it. Which model would account for Reb Zera in the following scenario? Animals can't go in. Double peros rights, pater. Single peros rights, chayiv. Because that's what Rashi says. How do you account for that option? Animals can't go in. As far as I'm concerned, animals can't go in. You're chayav, no ifs, ands, or buts. That's what bias is. But Zera spins the following calculus. It's not enough just to ask about animals. We have to look at perils, exclusive or non-exclusive. If both parties have perils rights, pater. But if one party has perils rights, and animals can't go in, chayav. Tosafot didn't like that, because it sounds counterintuitive. Can anyone tell me in your mind which of the four models would generate a chiyuv with a single pair of rights, but would not generate a chiyuv with his multiple pair of rights? You?
The attack on the field.
Because we have to gauge whether the pairs are part of the field, or whether attacking the pairs is attacking the field. If both of us can put our pairs there, then eating the pairs is an attack on the field. If one can put there, pow, That's what we need. That's where we need our paradigm. Okay? The final Gemara we saw, though, just look quickly at the table. I think we'll get to Mesillas Yesharim today. We'll just talk a little bit about the Parsha. Is the Gemara Memchas, where a third party. No, I'll talk about this another time. You guys know there's this kid next year who is applying from SAR Bob or something?
Billy.
I was thinking of one of the Bechinos. The guy was. It's curious. The guy was teaching me. You know, it was a case where there's a guy and two yidden and get a nush or whatever in chul, and he says, "Let's say Bob." You know, he said, "I said, you know, you may be accepted to yeshiva. You may come. I think there's a boy coming next year called Bob. You want to change?" So he said, "Okay, Ishmael or something." Okay, but let's say Bob, a third party Jew. Okay, What are the Shana Aleph guy, the third party Jew? Let's me put my peros in his rishos. And your mazik, my peros in Frumi Billy's rishos. Would you be chayev? The Gemara says, yes, or memchas. So many Rishonim say that when Frumi Billy lets me put his my peros in his rishos, Frumi Billy is being maskier my his land to me, like I own the land. Okay, don't be finished there. The Pasha of the Gemara sounds like, even though I don't own the land, if I can keep my peros there, and you come into a land that isn't yours or mine, then you're chayev. So that, again, shifts the focus to the peros, either because there's no longer pshia, I don't really care where you are, there's no pshia because I have the right to own peros there, or, as you said, peros is associated with land, because they put it, sounds more like pshia. I'm trying to get your minds to see where, A, we shift away from rishus, and B, once we start focusing on peros, those two move us to our fourth paradigm. Which brings us to our sheet. So let's just open the sheet very quickly. This is going to take 30 seconds. Now that you have the shear, you can appreciate the sheet. Of course, did I bring a sheet in? I did bring a sheet in. Thank you, Dovi. I didn't get a chance. My phone broke, so I didn't get a chance to open up. But as is Hashem, I will. One of these days, they say every summer, I'm going to learn how to do this digitally. But, okay, maybe someone can offer me free lessons in digital table making. Okay, it's a mental block. Okay, here you clearly have your four vectors lined up. The right vector is Bir B'Stei Acher. You see Yishai, different definitions of Rishus stemming from that. Your next vector is the Rif. The Rif is based in the Gemara Yotes and Mebeis. The Mochamas explanation of Ilfa seems to support the Rif. Maybe Abaya makes the Rif make sense also. That Miuchedes, Leperos, Lezev, Lezev, Lo, Leshvarim turns it into Non-Orches, Vayachayev. Quite frankly, there are a million different ways to slice Abaya because Abaya makes so much sense. It could fit into almost any pattern here. The next is that if the Nizik leaves his parents in Rishus Sarabim, then he's either a Mafkir like Rami Barachama or he's considered a Poshea. That emerges from Rav by Mekatsa Makom. That emerges from Tosos on Davchach by Miskalgia. Rolling Peros is maybe a Pshia of the Nizik because your parents are going to leave Rishus Yachin. I mean, talk about this in Shir, but maybe it's Pshia of Nizik. Tosos. Remember, we talked about you need, this was the hardest part of the shir, Tosos and Chaf Gimel, you need Lekicha from Rishus HaYachid and Achila, but Lekicha from Rishus HaYachid could be by Charashat HaVakad, which means you don't really need Lekicha from Rishus HaYachid, he just can't have Lekicha from Rishus HaRabim, because then it would be a Pshia. Number four, with a third party, Fermi Billy gives me Rishus to leave my Peros, so it's not Pshia Sanizik, because Fermi Billy gave me Rishus. And number five, Abaye, but again, Abaye. So if there's no shvarim that can come in, then I'm not a poshea because we can both put our peros. Yes, he'd be chayev according to Abaye. And the final one is the chiyuv of Shein Varagah's attack on the field. We saw that in Reb Tarfon. We saw that in Gemara how you allocate it. We saw that in Rashi that you can be chayev on the lekicha. We saw that in the Muhammos, the animal has to be physically in the land. We saw that in Reb Zera, a strange shita where double peros is butter, single peros is chayev, even though in both cases the shvarim can't access. Because single peros makes the pri associated with the land. Double peros means it's not associated with the land. Okay? Cool, huh? Once you learn a sugya, well, you know it well. It's all organized. You have your vectors. You have your approaches. And you could say, okay, I know these 8, 9 sugyas. The goal is a mirtz Hashem to know shas that way. Bad news is not so much time to do it in this world to learn. Good news is you'll have eternity to do it in the next world. So, okay. Good news and bad news. Okay. Let's skip Masil Sisharim, as painful as it is for me. We'll get to it in Mirtz Hashem next week. But I'm going to need fingerprints here because I need to. I want to stop it and send it to me and then.